Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Chris Benedetto. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks very much, Julie. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the partners, and welcome to the IBM sellers. This is the sixth call in our Q3 Pipeline Acceleration series. Let me tell you first how to get access to the slides. If you're on PartnerWorld, it should bring you right to the link in the meeting invitation that you have. If you're an IBMer, you will be brought to the media library, and it's the sixth item down. It begins Smarter Automation Systems. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about IT network management. This is part of an evolving strategy for Tivoli around service management, managing the network. You've heard about a number of our acquisitions lately, and Teledyn is one that we're going to talk about today. Without further ado, I'm going to hand this over to Gary Testa, the VP of Worldwide Sales for Intelligent, and he's going to tell us all about the wonderful capabilities of Intelligent. Gary, take it away.
Very good. Thanks, Chris. Good morning, all. I'm on slide number one, and we're going to talk today about taking back control of your network. We're going to be dealing directly with what is now called Tivoli Network or NetCool Configuration Manager. The official name is NetCool Configuration Manager, but you may see in some of the materials out there, it still says Network Configuration Manager. But the official name is, as on the title slide there, IBM Tivoli NetCool Configuration Manager. We're going to start off by talking about what is configuration management. So if you go to slide two, there's been some confusion when we go out and talk to sellers. We find that a lot of folks are familiar with the data center management side, which tends to focus on servers and tends to focus on applications and configuration management. As a matter of fact, if you're familiar with Tivoli Provisioning Manager for servers and applications, you can think of TNCM, as we call it, does the exact same thing, except we manage network devices. So what is a network device? We're focused on routers, switches, DSLAMs, gateways, soft switches. If you're in the mobile world, you're going to be talking about LTEs, access points. These are all of the devices in the network that actually move the IP traffic, or in some cases, the voice traffic, from place to place. Anything that connects servers or connects applications within a network is something that TNCM focuses on. And the problem that our customers face in this part of the network is one of complexity. What you find in the network side is that there are literally hundreds and thousands of devices, not just in terms of quantity, but actually different devices. And each one of those devices then has its own version of OS and oftentimes has its own command structure. I'm sure you're all familiar with Cisco IOS, or you've heard of Junos. These are both the operating systems that are used on the Cisco devices as well as on the Juniper devices. But what's probably not very well known is the fact that there are literally hundreds of versions of those deployed out in networks today. So when you got over 400 network element vendors, you have a few thousand device types per vendor, you have tens of OS versions per device, you literally end up with this massive soup that then the network engineers are supposed to manage. So it's a very, very complex environment. One thing, too, that people don't generally understand is that the configurations as they're stored in these devices is really just a big blob of text. There's no context within these configurations. In other words, they're not tagged in any way that makes searching through them intelligent. There's no contextual information that points to what valid parameters are. So for the most part, the network engineers actually have to memorize and know exactly what commands. If you think about it, it's very similar to MS-DOS. And, you know, we moved from MS-DOS to Windows to ex-Windows environments, and all in an effort to increase productivity. Well, that same change hasn't happened at the network device level. We're still dealing with, as we call it, the text blob. So at its most basic set of functionality, network configuration management is about taking that that configuration and all of the information that it contains, how the device is provisioned, all the services that are active, what ports are available, what cards are in the device, taking all of that information and synchronizing it back to a single data source. So basically, we're going to put this all in a database, and then we're going to add value to it. So now that we have all of that information in one location, now we're going to be able to analyze that to determine, are things misconfigured? Are we going to be able to use that to make decisions on other parts of the network, and also to push change into it? And by pushing change, I mean not just into the database, but actually all the way down to the device. So if you want to think about our product, the Tivoli NetCool Configuration Manager, really the benefits fall into the three categories of the three bullets at the bottom. We're going to be able to tell you who touched which device in the network, what they changed on that device, why and when did they make the change. So if there's a fault or if there's a problem in the network, now the NOC people, the operations people, will actually be able to determine, well, what changed out there? In other words, and not just what changed at a device level, meaning this individual device changed, but actually who made what changes in that device. And if they're using a tracking system for workflow, they're going to be able to determine why. The other thing that we'll be able to provide is a very reliable method of making errorless changes to a device. Now, what that means is that when I go to make a configuration change to a device, I can basically type anything I want in, and the device will either accept or reject it, and I could spend all day on a trial-and-error basis. In TNCM, what actually happens when you push a change out to a device is that we validate that the device, that the changes that you've offered up are valid, that the parameters are valid for that device, that the commands you've issued are in the correct order prior to sending them back. And if you do make a mistake, or if someone makes an overall mistake in configuration, we're able to roll all of those changes back out of the network, and this is important, without resetting the device. All of our competition in this space, what they do is they reload the entire old config that they may have stored, and then they reboot the device. They basically do a hard power-on reset. And the reason they do that is the devices are designed to recover from a power-off situation by reloading a config, the last known config, and then setting them up. The problem with this is that on some larger devices, that process can last as long as 2 to 5 hours. It can be a very long process, and with very complex devices, they often don't recover gracefully, meaning they don't just come back up to their last known good situation. What happens is that they then need a lot of human interaction in order to bring them back online. All of this causes a service affecting event. Even for the small devices, you know, being down for 2 or 3 minutes cuts into the SLA for our customers. So the alternative that we offer is actually building automatically a list of commands that will return that device to its original good known state that we've stored. Then we run through those commands, and so the only customers that are going to be impacted are those that are actually affected by the changes. In other words, if you're having to make a change to a single port on a single card rather than affecting all the customers that are having traffic over that router, we're only going to be affecting the ones that are on that single port. So that's a very critical difference, and we call that rollback. The other benefit we're going to provide, now that we've stored all the configuration information in a single location, is the ability to create real-time enforcement of access, security, and configuration policies. We're going to be able to control who can get on that device, and then once they're on the device, what commands are they allowed to use? What parameters in those commands are they allowed to use? And is there some business process that you have to follow for approvals? Maybe someone is not allowed to make a particular change, so we're going to create a process that forces them to have that approved by management or by someone else in the process. In terms of security, we're going to be watching what everyone does, recording all the changes so that you can actually go back and see who made what. Maybe somebody created a mirror port. This is an interesting security breach. It's very easy for someone on the inside to create a mirror port where all the information that's flowing over the network is steered to a single port and recorded. Most people tend to think about application security. They tend about data security. You better start thinking about network security because, quite frankly, all of that flows over the network. And there are a million points in that network where it can be diverted and stored for later replay and use. So security is a hot button in network, but most people only control who can touch a device. They don't control what they can do once they're on the device. And they certainly generally don't record all the changes that are happening in the network. And then in terms of configuration policies, this is the ability to create rules that actually look inside the configuration and determine, are you following your golden config, for instance? You know, the CEO has determined that he wants to offer a particular service. He's gone to the chief technology officer and the chief security officer, said make it so. They then go out to their network engineers and issue configurations that say these are what must be provisioned in the network. Well, then those have to be manually provisioned and then manually enforced. And this way we can actually create an automation of that entire process. So at its highest level, that's what network config management is. And now we're going to go to slide three and talk a little bit about what's the problem. Why, you know, this increasing network complexity, it affects us in multiple dimensions. So we have a huge proliferation of new devices. I mean, there are literally some networks we see are growing by 1,000 new devices a day. You've got to get those in there. You've got to get them provisioned. Generally, everyone is going multi-vendor. So you don't see single vendor networks anymore, or very rarely. Now you've got customers bidding those out to multiple vendors. So you have not just lots of one vendor device. Now you've got lots of many different ones. And it used to be just two. Now we're seeing networks that are composed of literally tens, if not hundreds, of different vendors of devices. The information in the network is increasing. We don't know what devices are online oftentimes. Many times you'll hear customers talk about discovery. That obviously is a big opportunity. They don't even know what devices are actually in the network, so they're unable to control that. We can work together with other IBM products to, once the devices are discovered, to actually ensure that they're enforced in terms of their policy. Compliance is a big issue. There's a lot of regulatory going on right now, forcing customers to verify, oftentimes showing that they have a process also to verify that they're meeting those regulations. A good example is in SOX. Any network device that contains or transports financial information has to be verified for access and control under SOX. Same thing for HIPAA. Any network device that transfers personal information of patients, you have to have a process that's verifiable that proves that you've got those devices locked down. And so oftentimes speaking with the chief security officer, the amount of change that's happening in the network is increasing too. Obviously, people are trying to provide new services. They're trying to offer many things. And what that does is drive lots of change, not just from the physical side of the network, meaning the types of things that these network engineers are pushing out there, but also in terms of the OS and the patches and upgrades that they have to provide. Vendors find problems all the time out in the network. They find bugs, and they issue those patches. Some of them are security-related. Some of them are device-related. And, of course, beyond all of this is the fact that everyone is basically slimming down their network organizations. They're having to do this with fewer and fewer people and smaller budgets. Just to give a kind of a relative perspective, if you think about the fact that there are 20,000 CCIEs worldwide and there are something on the order of 1 billion Cisco network devices deployed, it gives you a bit of a ratio between, you know, how many people are actually trained, fully trained on these devices and certified versus how many are actually deployed. So that's what our customers are facing and the environment that we're operating in. So what's the cost? I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. What is the cost to our customers? Give me just 1 second. I'm going to switch lines here. Okay. So in terms of cost, I think the easiest one to run an ROI analysis on is the very first one on slide four. So 60% of all of your network outages are caused by manual configuration errors. So that number right there, 60%, is a huge number. I mean, if you can't control what's happening in terms of network outages at this level, you'll never be able to meet most of the modern SLAs that are placed out there. And this is one of the biggest drivers. A lot of our customers have experienced this network outage, this network failure. Almost all of them are driven by well-meaning engineers putting out changes into the network, and they bring a big chunk of the network down, and then everyone scrambles to recover. This is one of the easiest ways to identify an opportunity. If you have a customer that has had this experience recently, they will be very attuned to how can they create a process that would have enabled them to know who made that change, what they changed, why they made that change, and, of course, how to roll back and recover from that change. The other one that I like to focus on with customers is the very last one, which is that 80% of security breaches come from non-compliant devices. And this makes sense. If you don't know a device is there, it's very hard to enforce security on it. If you don't have detailed security, it's very hard to prevent people, particularly network engineers who are often dealing in things that people don't understand on these devices, to make changes that no one really gets what the actual underlying impact will be. And so you need to really sit down and be able to control what those people are doing and know on a consistent basis what they're doing. So taking a look at slide 5, this is what we call the TNCM functional map. And what we've done here is broken the product down into its 4 critical areas, which is security and administration, configuration and change management, compliance and audit, and network provisioning. Now, we're not going to go through all of these, but this is a slide that I like to use with customers because you can quickly go through this with them and give them a good overview of both the functionality we provide as well as identify the areas of interest. So in terms of security and administration, access, you know, control of access to devices by role or by groups, this is something they're probably familiar with on their security and data side. It's something that they should be also enforcing at their on their network. The other thing that's very unique about us is the concept, and this is the 4th item down under security and administration, is the concept of organization of network devices into realms. So what we have the ability to do is to group network devices by functional capabilities, by geographic capabilities, by even internally within the devices, we can subdivide them. This gives the concept of multi-tenancy, the ability to have multiple user groups looking at certain parts of a network device or even breaking down the entire network into groups and then enabling specific groups of users to do certain things on them. Give you a good example, you may have your network divided east and west, but at the same time you have a security group that has to look at all the devices, but just those security commands within that group. And we can provide all of that. In terms of configuration and change management, workflow automation is one of the biggest. This is kind of a crossover from security and administration. You know, we talked about it earlier. It's the ability to create a business process where you have to have certain types of changes approved or certain types of parameters. If you're going to do this parameter in a command, that has to be approved. A good example is a shut command or a reset of a device, for instance. The other thing that we do is we keep the network model that we contain, or the configuration repository, as we call it, we keep that updated in near real time. This means that as all the policies and security that you're placing on it, they're actually looking at the most current version of what that device is configured for. So a lot of the products that exist out there today don't do this. They take a snapshot of the device once a day, maybe once an hour, and then they attempt to apply policy on, oftentimes creating a kind of a conflict, right? You're trying to apply something that existed an hour ago. That's not the true state of that device today. And that's the same thing when you enforce changes on things. So when you look at compliance and audit, you know, there is this is a tremendously broad area. Everything from operational, security, regulatory, We enable both automatic always on as well as ad hoc, meaning that you can build a query right now and run that out. You can use it for reporting. Just find me all the devices that meet this criteria. You can create automatic correction processes where if we find errors in the network, we can fix all those. This is a tremendously powerful part of the product. And we're going to talk about it earlier, but this is the part of the product that I like to sell what I call breaking the chain of pain, which is when you find an error in the network, you've identified root cause, and now you make the fix. What you want to do is you want to try and pull those types of errors out of that circle in the future by writing a policy to automatically find and prevent them or correct them as they occur. And then network provisioning. Network provisioning, you'll probably hear most often when if you're talking to communication service providers, you'll also hear about this. If you're dealing with data centers, network provisioning is true flow-through provisioning, the ability to activate services on a device in an intelligent manner as part of a workflow. We provide a full set of APIs as well as the ability to create very intelligent command sets that are very device-aware, meaning that just because a device has been upgraded to a new OS, that provisioning process doesn't necessarily have to fail. We can actually look at that. We can report. If it does fail, we can report at a very detailed level in terms of that failure and report that status back. Most provisioning systems today have very little error checking. They just assume that what they push down into the network is correct. And then, of course, this creates large problems when, in fact, devices do fail. So, again, this is a pretty highly detailed list of features and functionality. But it's one that, if you spend some time with or if you have any questions, we're happy to answer them. I want to go down to slide six. This is a little bit busy, but gives a pretty good understanding of the way that we look at the network today and the way that the functions that we provide within TNCM actually integrate with them. So we're going to start at the bottom and just work through the top of this slide. So first, you've got your multi-vendor network. Obviously, you've got anywhere from a few hundred to, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of devices. One of the parts of the product that we have is called a standard device. This is basically the comm handler. This is the piece of code that enables us to actually synchronize the configuration of the device back into the configuration repository. This is a required component of the product, and one of these is required for each device in the network. Now, the smart model is an optional component of the product, and it basically goes through that text blob that the standard device delivers to it, and it parses through that and then tags all of the resonant bits or all of the important information with actual XML tags. And then we store all of that information in the configuration repository. Now, what's important to know is that we store both the native config, as we call it, that's what the standard device driver delivers, as well as the smart model. And the reason that we do that is that in some cases, customers actually do need to interact with the native config. They've written maybe a policy or some kind of workflow around that. But once we have this stored and we maintain all of this in real time, meaning that as devices change in the network, we actually are synchronizing those changes back into our configuration repository, we then make them available to the different applications that we talked about earlier. So we have something called OS Upgrade Manager, which will actually monitor your network looking at the version of OS on each device and then following a set of rules that you or the customer have created, automatically go through the process of upgrading those devices in the maintenance windows. Change and activation, we just spent a lot of time talking about, as well as policy and enforcement. Another critical thing to know is that there is a set of APIs on both the configuration repository, meaning that you have access to the both the smart model as well as the native config information directly, as well as through all of the applications that we provide. So we do have a number of customers that use us in what we call a headless environment, where they have integrated us into other products, both IBM as well as third party, to enable connection down into the network. So rather than having your more complex OSS, BSS applications attempt to understand the nuance of every device in the network, they use our APIs where we basically created a generic network mediation layer so that the They don't actually need to know the details of what commands are understood by each device. They simply need to know which device they want to change, and then we provide a high-level API for actually ensuring those changes. On the left side of the screen, you'll see that there's this concept of a secure log device terminal. There are a group of customers out there that absolutely want to go direct to the device, and that's fine. We support that. We do that over Telnet and Secure FTP. But what's different is that we actually, again, monitor every change they make to every device. Therefore, again, maintaining that log so that if there is something wrong in the network or if you need to go back and find out who did what, when, and why, we have that. One question that we get oftentimes is, well, what if I go to the device directly? What if I don't use any of the tools that are provided in TNCM? That's okay, too. We actually do monitor all the syslogs, and based on a certain set of filtering for particular devices, we know that someone has logged on to the device, we know that a change has been made, and we will automatically go out and config sync that device so that we still maintain a log of what's happening in the network at all times. So going on to slide 7, I want to talk a little bit about smart models. This is an optional part of the product. It's one that adds a tremendous amount of value. We talked a little bit earlier about what these configs look like. There's a little representation there on the left-hand side, and it's CLI. CLI stands for Command Language Interface. You also hear Command Line Interface. Basically, each of these CLIs is proprietary by vendor, and oftentimes it varies by VTMOS. So one of the most difficult parts about config management is the fact that you're not dealing with a nice, well-constructed language that these devices speak. You're dealing literally with millions of different commands, different contexts. Even the placement of a colon in the wrong location can cause a problem. So one of the big values that we have done in the product is we've created the ability to automatically convert that command line interface, that CLI, over into an XML tag schema. In other words, what we do is we provide structure and context for all that information. We go through, we parse it down into its basic parts. We then know what sets of configuration parameters are associated with each part of the config, and we tag it, and we tag it using XML. And the reason that's powerful is that the config itself remains in a text format, but now we've added a tremendous amount of information to it. For instance, this is what enables us to know what is a valid parameter in a command. Each smart model contains all of that information. We know all of the configuration commands, relevant parameters to each of those, each of the allowed parameters and parameter ranges. We know how many slots are in a particular chassis. We know how many ports on a particular card. We know the speeds and feeds. All of that is contained inside the smart model so that when we utilize it in the product, we're actually verifying anything that is passing to the device against the smart model. Now, we do provide two ways, again, as we said earlier, of supporting a device. You can buy just your standard device tiers, which provide only native capability. So we still store all of the config information. But I really encourage you, for customers that are making lots of changes to devices or if they have a lot of the same device or very large devices, I really encourage you to encourage them to look at the smart model technology. It's also what allows us to do the rollback and things like that. We have a whole presentation on just smart models and the powers they bring. So I'd encourage you to go out and pull that down off the seller's workplace as well. Obviously, the next question you get if you look at slide 8 is, well, what devices do you support? Today, we've got out-of-box support for about 850 devices and growing. We support thousands of OS versions. I think at last count we had something on the order of 50,000 different devices and OS combinations covered today. We've got a full range of devices and vendors. Those are shown on this slide. And there is a list that you can download. It's called the TNCM Supported Device List. That's also available on the seller's workplace. So, taking a look at slide 9. These are some of our unique advantages. We've talked about most of these, the common XML repository. In other words, this is our persistent store of all those configurations. I want to make sure that we stress one thing around this. This is a single instance. Most of our competitors cannot scale. Most of them break at around 20,000 devices. So for most enterprise customers, that's fine. But when you're talking to very large financial institutions, very large insurance, communication service providers, scalability is a key differentiator. Today, we have customers supporting well over 100,000 devices all on a single instance of this software. So scalability of that repository is key. We've talked about the smart model mediation. Unified platform, we've got lots of different ways to access the information, APIs directly to the config information, APIs for all the applications. You can then use GUIs in order to do configuration command. You can use the Telnet command line interface that we talked about earlier. So for each different part of your constituency and the customer, we have a different way of accessing the information. It's really up to the customer to choose what is the most effective manner. But across all of those interfaces, we offer the same set of value and services. Always accurate changes and rollback. Again, recovery is the name of the game. You back up your data, you back up your servers, or you're backing up your network devices so that you can get back online as quick as possible. And we've talked about security, compliance, and workflows already in this talk today. But from a seller's perspective, who are you talking to? Let's talk about who you talk to and what do you ask them in order to qualify. So with TNCM, our target user groups are really the CTO, CIO, the Chief Security Officer, and the Chief Operations Officer. You want to start there, and we're going to talk a little bit about the local NOC and operations engineers and how this product affects them and how it can benefit them, but also want to alert you to some things that you need to keep track of. So in terms of the CTO, CIO, this is generally the architect or the standard setter. He wants the information in the repository. It's what enables him or her to actually know what types of services can be deployed in the network because he has one place to go in order to look at how all those devices are configured. So they tend to use that configuration repository as a database to determine what they can do in the future or what the network is capable of today. Now, the security officer is the enforcer. He's been tasked with going out and actually enforcing the policies of the company. Now, he may set policy and then go to the operations officer, but generally, as in most things, this all tends to slide downhill, and the chief operations officer is the one tasked with making changes to the network, making them reliably, enforcing the security policies that the security officer has dictated, and also implementing the new services that the CTO has demanded. And often, at the end of the day, this is our chief user. He is held responsible for SLA enforcement. He is held responsible for making sure that the changes happening in the network are correct. And, of course, he or she gets the phone call in the middle of the night when the network is down. So you definitely want to go and speak to the CTO. You want to sell to the CSO. But ultimately, it's the operations people that generally are the ones that implement our product. Now, working for them are the operations engineers. These are the people who touch the devices every day. These are the ones entering in these commands. In many cases, these people are very welcoming of the product because, in fact, we're enabling them to get more done. You can make changes to thousands of network devices in a very reliable manner with a simple click of a button. On the other hand, you will run into a group of these people that are extremely threatened by this product. Why? Because now there's going to be someone looking over their shoulder, watching what they do, recording what happens. This is the exact reason why the CTO, CSO, and COO want the product. Obviously, this is not by just human nature what those people tend to want. So we tend to focus initially on the C-level cells and then working together with the managers in the operations engineering department, show them the power and capability we have of making them more efficient and getting rid of a lot of that routine make work that happens in doing these changes. So questions to ask. Let's go to slide number 11 here. So add a box. You know, sellers need simple things to sell in order to qualify, right? This product is incredibly capable in so many ways, but let's narrow it down to four things that you can take out to your customer today in order to sell. The first one is reliable and verifiable change automation. And the way this slide is set up is it's a series of questions, and these questions are the ones that I ask the customers. Generally, the answer to these questions will be no, and when they answer no, you've got a qualified customer, someone that you can either bring in some of your Tivoli Tiger team in or your other salespeople. You're welcome to call the classic Intelligent team. That's why we're here, all of whom are part of John Freck's Service Automation Tiger team. And we will go in and work with you to really drill down and look at why or what we can do in order to enable your customers to meet all of these things. So reliable and verifiable change. This is basically, you know, do you track change on every device? You know, are you aware of what's happening in your network today? Do you know who's making changes? You know, you're held hostage by scripts. This is an interesting one. A lot of times we find when we go into organizations, there are maybe two or three network engineers that actually understand how to write the complex network scripts and push them out. We can automate all of that process, and we can also bring it to a level where your average engineer can do that. Network security and access control comes back to that question. Who touched what, why, and when, and how do I get back to where it was? Comprehensive network backup and recovery. If you're not maintaining a backup of all the network devices on a real-time basis, meaning that as changes happen, when you go to recover, you're going to lose all the changes that happened between the last time the synchronization happened and the event that you're trying to deal with. So you need to make sure that that updating process and synchronization process is as real-time as possible. Then, of course, the ability to roll back those changes as opposed to reset the device. And then prevent past errors and ensure future compliance. This is all about the policies. You know, how do you prevent configuration mistakes? You know, you'll hear it from most NOC engineers. They fix the same errors in the network 80% of the time. It's a perfect Pareto curve, right? 20% are new, what they would call critical issues that are because new services are being rolled out. Somebody may have missed something, but 80% of the problems in the network happen over and over and over again, and you need to break that cycle by using policy. So my recommendation is that you take this slide out to your sellers and just sit down and ask them these questions. They're pretty straightforward. Once you get a couple of no's, you know you got a qualified opportunity, and we're going to be happy to help you with that. So take a quick look at slide 12. If you've got customers today that already own Omnibus, already own ITNM, you are looking at a clearly qualified customer for TNCM. And the reason is that if you think about what Omnibus and ITNM do, you know, Omnibus collects all those events. ITNM basically helps the customer determine root cause, helps them identify their network topology. So if you start at number one on this slide, so you got changes are made either within TNCM or out of band. So you have a change that's been made to the network. The device change causes a breach of policy. TNCM was watching what you were doing, determines that that change breaches policy. We send out a bunch of traps. Omnibus collects those, okay, looks for, you know, common issues related to a particular device, sends those over to TNM. TNM identifies the root cause, says it's this device. And now you've got the ability to either do a manual correction or an automated correction using TNCM. In other words, we can write a policy that will automatically look for those types of problems and automatically correct them. We can write a workflow that says if you see this issue appear, please go through the following process of approvals in order to make those changes. Or we can simply identify for the customer what device is causing the problem. And by looking at the differentiation between the two configs, you can determine what change you need to make. So once we've determined root cause, you know, we automatically make the change, then we go through a reevaluation process to clear it. So this cycle, if done correctly, can actually pull 80% of the problems that the NOC sees every day in the network out of the cycle through an automatic correction process, or at least an automatic identification process. And this is really the powerful message that we use with existing customers. You know, we've given you the ability to collect information through Omnibus. We've given you the ability to determine root cause. And now, with TNCM, we're giving you the ability to make verified changes to the network, as well as to then build a policy to break the cycle. The remainder of this deck I'd encourage you to look at. These are a number of customers that we have today. They show you, if you take a look at slide 14, this is business in terms of what we're actually doing with the case studies on BT. We show you what we've done at Visa. These are all good kind of comparisons to customers that you may have today. Scotiabank is a financial institution, up in Canada. And CBION. CBION's an interesting one on slide 17. CBION is a 100% Cisco network. Actually, they were funded by Cisco. Today, we're managing over 50,000 Cisco-only devices. So the question would be, why didn't they go to ANA or why didn't they go to Cisco Works? They came to us primarily because of scalability and the ability to use a full-featured set of APIs for integration into the rest of their system, neither of which Cisco was able to offer. So even when you run into a Cisco or a Juniper-only network, or for that matter, any other vendor, we still offer a tremendous amount of value for those customers. So take us a look at slide 18. So what do we want you to do? We want you to go out and target all your customers who have Omnibus and TNM today. Those are customers that are practically pre-qualified for you. We can show value to those customers in the integration we have with TNCM quite easily. We also want you to go out and look at cloud and other TPM opportunities. In particular, cloud opportunities, a lot of times cloud focuses just on the servers and the applications. The cloud doesn't work unless you have automated the network network connectivity. Today at BT, for instance, we support their virtual data center, which is a full free-flowed automation of cloud services that they offer via the web to their customers, and we're doing all of the network provisioning for that. We want to go after the competition. Opsware and EMC, you know, HP Opsware, EMC Voyance. We tend to find that customers that have our competition, they're focusing on what the NOC guys are doing. They're focusing at that low level of the network engineer and the automation. What they're not focusing on is the greater value that are provided to the C-level constituents. So we definitely encourage you to focus on the C-level constituents, find out where maybe those products are not providing all the value they should. Are they able to track the changes that are happening every day, who does what, when, and how? No, they don't do that. We're able to provide that value. Do they provide the ability to roll back from a failure? No, they force you to use the reset. This is just a number of reasons why we can go in and do replacements. Definitely want to target Cisco and Juniper deployments. We provide almost 100% device coverage for both of these network vendors, and they represent at least 80% of all the devices in the network today. So definitely always good to target Cisco and Juniper. We also have got pretty good relationships with Juniper as well as Cisco, and are often being brought in by them to help support their customers. You know, there's nothing like a little FUD to sell a product, right? So if you can find out when the last time the customer had an outage, if it was network-related, what happened, it's a good test case that we can use to walk through why they should be using the product. And show the customers our webinar, Network Manager Best Practices. You can click on this. We actually walked through a very good demo showing almost this exact same cycle that we talked about back on slide 12, where we were showing errors in the network and showing automatic correction and verify. We are out talking to you on a regular basis. If you guys want to hold local lunch and learns or any kind of local training for any of your constituents, whether it's customers or partners or other sellers in your partners, we're happy to support that. We've got a lot of material out there on the seller's workplace. And don't forget, for the IBM sellers, that we've got a bonus out there for every ITNCM win. So there are dollars to be made at these customers. The sale may sound like it's a little bit off your beaten path. A lot of the IBM sellers aren't focusing on the network, folks. I just want you to go out, use that sheet of questions, and help us qualify customers. Then we'll come in and help you do the rest. You don't have to try and do this alone. We realize that it's complicated. Taking a look at slide 19, who to call. This is the list of all of the former Intelligent sellers. These are all very knowledgeable people. There are also the IBM sellers on here as well. Call us up. You know, I mean, that's what we're here for. We're here to help you. We are actively engaged in all of the TNCM opportunities today, and we would love to add yours to our list. So don't hesitate to get in touch with us. And then if you need internal resources, take a look at slide 20. This provides you links to all sorts of materials. We've actually got an Intelligent Sales Kit. We have configuration tools that will help you to determine the RVU counts that are available. So all of that is available to you. And again, don't hesitate to call you know, the TNCM Tiger team, the former Intelligent folks. That's what we're here for. So, operator, we're wide open for questions if anybody has any. I know that was a lot of information, and we certainly appreciate your participation. And, Larry Carrick, if you have anything to add, please feel free.
Let's go to questions, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. One moment, please. There are no questions at this time.
Well, there you go. We've overwhelmed everyone with information. Again, we certainly appreciate your attention and your time. And again, remember that we are here to help you. My team is dedicated to supporting TNCM opportunities, so don't hesitate to call us. And with that, we have a wrap. Again, thanks very much for your attention today, and we look forward to meeting you in the field. Thank you very much.